All right, let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 12, if you will. Luke chapter 12. Anybody didn't get a worksheet that need a worksheet? Just lift your hand up. Anybody at all? Pray for the funeral on Friday morning. That's Miss Doris Sprague's funeral. That's Betty Rupert's sister, and I know she'd appreciate that. The viewing's on Thursday night, I think it's 6 to 8, and I always appreciate families from the church, and it'll be encouragement. And continue to pray. I know we mentioned it, but Brother Bobby Robertson and Brother Jeff Johnson. That's real. I called down there. Now Bobby's daughter Molly is on the staff. She was on another line, but they're pretty concerned, of course. And so this is a big to do. Of course, Brother Bobby, I think he's 84 or something, and so he's had cancer twice already. Esophageal cancer. He had prostate cancer. No, was it? I know Brother Tim did. I think Brother Bobby had something. Anyway, he's had several different things, and yet he just, like the Energizer Bunny, he just keeps on going. But you pray for him. I know they'd appreciate that. All right. That means that if you know anything about the ministry, that means Frank Shoemate, which was kind of in semi-retirement, has kind of come out to do everything he needs to do. And so that's basically their staff. Tim Hicks is the music director and youth pastor and does a few other things. And so they keep those boys busy. And so I know they really appreciate it. Luke chapter 12, verse number 1. We're going to read 12 verses here. We kind of worked on this. We were on this topic last week. But it's, remember, the chapters are not put there. God didn't say, okay, now Luke, write down chapter 12. And the chapters were put in by the translators. And so those, sometimes they have to break it up or just runs off. They're trying to put it in pieces so that we can understand it. But of course, it kind of goes right into the same place there. So chapter 12, verse 1 says, in the meantime. Now you know what that means. Going along with all we've been talking about here, in the midst of everything that was happening, and of course, we've been talking about, with hypocrisy. He said, in the midst of all this that was going on, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon the other, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, he says, now listen, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So we haven't changed the topic here. We went through all that and so forth, and what, hypocrisy, how it shows itself. The fact is, what would I call that other message? Good-looking hypocrites. It's not what we look like on the outside. It's what God knows we are on the inside. That's how it works with salvation. And that's how it works with having a close walk with God. We can do all the right things, we can dot all the right I's, but we're not careful. We can even become kind of proud at being humble, proud of being the servant. And before long, it's amazing how we can take these things and twist them, and we get ourselves out of trouble. In doing all these things, even in depriving ourselves of things that God wants us to have, we can actually become almost an abomination to God because we're so proud. God resists the proud. Whether it's unrighteous pride or righteous pride, it's pride. And so he still resists. We're not going to have the touch of God, the hand of God on us, on the hand of him on our ministry, on our homes as we lead our homes. We can't expect it to be what it should be when pride's in control. Now, on the other hand, he gives grace to the humble. The fact is, there's a lot of folks who are humble, and they don't want anybody to know anything what they're doing. That's fine. Lord says, do your alms in secret. Pray in closet in secret. He says, I'll bless you openly. What's that mean? Folks are going to know who's walking with God and who's not. And I think sometimes we be careful. Sometimes we reason things away. We make excuses for this, excuses for that. And we've just, in fact, I, we got to be careful, maybe all of us at one time, we've decided we're righteous. And so if there's a problem, it must be somebody else or something else. And, you know, one of the first things we ought to do, even when we think that we're all right, is go back and check. I mean, that's what I think a humble person would do. The first thing to do is go back and say, okay, Lord, what is it that I've got in my life that I need to confess? Is there anything? There must be something. Now, you know, you have Job, that poor guy. He went through all kinds of things. And the fact is, there's some indication in the writing there that he went back and said, you know, I checked out. I checked this. I checked this. I can't find anything of any major importance. And the fact is that the reason he went through what he did was because he walked with God. And God was going to use him to show what you can do even when things go bad. Now, anyway, so in the meantime, he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered or hidden or in the secret or unseen. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which we have spoken in the ear of closets, you think anybody heard it, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and ever that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more valued than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him, it be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues, unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Alrighty, we're going to pray. Hypocrisy will not always be hidden. Hypocrisy will not always be hidden. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to have your truths hidden dark, deep, and solid into our hearts. And may, Lord, if we need to see ourselves, and my guess is we all will see ourselves some to a certain degree in some of these ways before we leave this evening. Lord, help us to confess and forsake them. Help us not to cause any resistance from you, but to have your grace carrying us through. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've often wondered how, we talk about hypocrites as if we're not, but we are. Okay? I'm just talking in general. When we're living the hypocritic life, when that moment when we've kind of been something we're not supposed to be, I've often wondered how hypocrites can even live as such, and yet we turn around and do it. Certainly they know God and they believe in him, and if that is true, how can they live the way they do? How can they say the things they say? I think the answer is just like most every other thing in their life, their so-called faith is also a sham and put on. Now that can be for somebody who's not saved. There are a lot of folks who have spent many years in churches. My grandfather taught Sunday school for 70 years. But he wasn't saved until he was 90. Now, he was a very kind man. Very honest man. But the fact is, he didn't know salvation. I think sometimes, though, it could be also folks who know Christ as Savior. And we talk well, we talk big, but if we actually ever have to exercise our faith, we get scared. We'll say that we believe something, and then when we're actually faced with the situation, faced with life and death, faced with ridicule, things get hard, all of a sudden, it's like the reality shows up. And the faith isn't what we expressed it to be. I think there could be an outward profession of faith, and yet very little, if any, exercise of faith. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes I'm surprised, be honest with you, folks, that I didn't think we're all that spiritual, but when the time comes and the faith has to be exercised, they do it. They can just do it. It's amazing how God will give grace and they'll just turn it over to the Lord. Reputation is what people think we are, and a character is what God and our family know we are. We also need to recognize that we may be sincere in some areas of our lives and phonies in other areas of our lives. Now, Luke 12 is going to start out, and it's still discussing hypocrisy. A hypocrite, I mentioned, is somebody who's acting. Acting as something they're not. It's an actor. That's what a hypocrite really means. And, you know, we can become pretty good actors. But in our passage here, it says, you know, there's going to come a day when all that is going to be known for sure for what it really is. Let me give you number one. Hypocrites think that their hypocrisy can slide by others unnoticed. Hypocrites think, at least they hope, that their hypocrisy can slide by others unnoticed. Luke 12, 1 says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, it's talking about leaven. Putting yeast in the rolls. Something that makes it rise. Leaven. Now, the fact is, when you make the rolls, you don't, Lord willing, you can't see the yeast or the leavening once you've baked the rolls. It all becomes part of the whole. But you can't see it. You can't really taste it. Well, yeast you can kind of taste. But it's there, but in when you look at it, you don't really perceive it to be there. What we find, what it does do is kind of puffs up. It's a lot of air. And the fact is, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Jesus says. What's that mean? Well, that means it doesn't take much until it's all through everything. Every little aspect of that roll. And you know what? It's interesting. The roll is bread. That's kind of the basis of nutrition. The bread of life. It's bread. It's the basic, it's a kind of a basic nutritional element in our diets. And he says, you got to be careful because it's in there, but you can't see it. It's making an effect, but we can't see it. Letter B, sometimes hypocrisy can go undetected, and that's when it can be the most dangerous. You see, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The fact is that hypocrisy that was throughout their lives was hard to notice because it was camouflaged or covered up by all the quote-unquote good things that they've done outwardly as they keep the law. They do with the letter of the law, but their heart's not in it. He says, yes, in our passage before, he says, yeah, you ought to, he said, you tithe, you know, the spices and this little bit of this and this bit of that, but you forget about the weightier things like judgment and mercy. And so the fact is, you say, well, we can check off this. Well, you can check off he's doing this, and we have a little checklist of all the things we think a Christian's supposed to be doing. And the fact is, how do you measure mercy? You know, how do you measure love? How do you measure discernment? How do you measure those things? But yet you think, well, we've got the rule book. We can check these off. So he must be really good because his checks are all full. But you may have somebody who doesn't have a lot of those checks filled in. But the fact is, they're full of mercy and judgment and discernment, and things are going on in their life. It's hard. He said, listen, he says, that leaven, that hypocrisy can be part of who that person is, and it almost can go undetected. And the fact is, the things that go undetected are the most dangerous. Those are the things that can get us. It slides in there and becomes part of who we are. Before long, we're totally immersed in it, and it's immersed in us, and we're going about our little job, about our little lives, and we haven't realized how much danger we've caused. Letter C, hypocrisy can be very dangerous to all those that come in contact with it, but do not recognize it. It's very dangerous because we don't recognize it. It's there. It appears to be good, but we've got an issue. Now, from last week, I put this in here because he just taught us this, but I wanted to bring it back to our minds, so I kept these notes all from last week. As we spoke on this last week, we learned that the scope of hypocrisy, it produces deceptions. It traps others to be swallowed up. It's dangerous. In our passage, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware. And boom, they think we're going along having a good old life, and all of a sudden we're swallowed up in this mess. We become just like the rest of them, swallowed up in this hypocrisy. You know, there's an awful lot of friendships through the world where what they have in common is they hate the same thing or they hate the same person. You know, they talk about politics make strange bedfellows. They may not agree in anything, but they both hate this. And so they're going to get along together because they both hate this. And it's amazing how we're not careful. We get that same leaven in us, and we don't see it. We didn't recognize it. Before long, we're over here pointing and complaining and this and that and the other thing, just like the Pharisees. It propagates bad doctrine. He says, woe unto you lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. It promotes destructive deeds. He says, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for you and they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. We've been through all this, but I wanted you to see this. It perpetuates destructive behavior. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. So in other words, it passes down that same old stuff. It propagates more hypocrisy. And lastly, it prohibits discernment. He says, woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered yet not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Listen, we start saying, well, you need to follow me. And before long, they're following some man who's going down the wrong road. Now again, the leaven is sneaky. It slides in where you don't see it. Before long, it's got a hold of us, and we're all puffed up, full of holes and air, too. You've been hanging around that leaven too much. Number two, hypocrisy will eventually come to light. Now, that's a scary thought. I heard a guy one time, I don't know if this is the way it's going to be. This is what he's trying, a dramatic effect. But he basically made it sound like that one of these days when we get up to heaven, there's going to be this huge screen and everything, even our whole life, our events of our whole life is going to show up on this screen. And everybody in the whole that's ever been born, ever will be born, will see what we did. Well, I don't think that's the case, at least not for those who are saved, because he says, what sins are you talking about? Basically, you know, I've cast them as far as the east is from the west and the depths of the deepest sea. I will remember them no more. They don't count anymore. They're not going to bring those up. But I do think we may be saved yet so as by fire and don't have anything to offer. Now, those who are judged at the great white throne, I don't know. Because he says they're going to be judged out of things that are in the books. I don't know. I'm you know, whether it's a private judgment or whether it's public, I don't know. But it does say this. Look at verse 2. For there is nothing covered. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about the hypocrisy like leaven. What does that mean? It's in there, but you can't see it. And people think it's okay. We've hide it in there. No one's ever going to know my hypocrisy. No one's ever going to know it's there. I don't know. He says there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness, when no one was looking, you didn't think anybody could see, shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet, listen, you told them, don't tell anybody, shall be proclaimed from the housetops. He's saying, we're not going to get away with this. The Old Testament says it this way, be sure your sin shall find you out. Now, it doesn't say here or there or where. I think maybe it's a little bit of both. You ever been caught in your own words? Caught in your own lie? Made up a story? A little self-righteous? And then the truth was known. You know why God does that? You think because he's being mean and wants to get us. No. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to help you get out of that. And if letting somebody else know your hypocrisy is what it takes to get your attention, that's what he's going to do. He does it out of mercy. Just like he stood the seraphim, the cherubim, outside the gates of the Garden of Eden. He says, I want them to go back in there and eat of the tree of life and live forever. That wasn't being mean. Sin had entered the world. If we never died, that means everybody in Noah's time had never died, and all the thoughts of man was of evil continually. We think it's bad now. Can you imagine? What's he trying to do? Get our attention. See, hypocrites can hide the leaven in the bread and think that no one can see all the holes in the air and in the bread, but God can see the leaven. You know what? God can also get the leaven out. We can't get the leaven out of a bread. No way we can do that. God could. We think we can act the part of a Christian and convince others and even ourselves that all is well, but God knows the truth. We may think we've done a good job covering up our true character. However, the day is coming when all creation will know what hypocrites we really are. It may just be here and there and yon. This is not a fun message, is it? But we don't get away with anything. Number 3. Again, he's explaining this thing. You can see several things. You think they're just kind of splattered in there, but they're not. Number 3, hypocrites fear the wrath of man more than the wrath of God. Remember when I said that hypocrites think about, they're more worried about the temporal things. They're more worried about what man thinks about this. They're more worried about being promoted by man than promoted by God. They're more worried about this thing and that thing. They're not worried. They may say they're worried about God, but they're really worried about it from this realm, this two-dimensional realm here. They fear the wrath of man more than the wrath of God. Now, how can hypocrites pretend to be what they are? Because they fear man more than God. They think they can hide the leaven in the bread. But you can't hide anything from God. You see, we think, well, I'm as long as man can't see it, I'm okay. Well, have we forgotten that God's not dead? Have we forgotten he's on the job? Have we forgotten that he's still holy and righteous? And we could pretend and come up with make ourselves look really good before man, but God knows who we really are. Look what it says, Luke 12:4. It says, and I say unto you, my friends, Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. They believe in man more than they believe in God. They say, well, I've got to go along with this because it's a life and death, or it's a matter of life and death, or if this is going to be serious. I can't go along with God with this. I'm going to have to go along with man, and this is the way it is. He says, listen, man may kill your body, but man cannot cast you into hell. You can follow a man into hell, but he can't cast you into hell. He says, I'll tell you who you ought to be right with, who you ought to fear, who it is you ought to make sure is happy with you, and that's God. Because yet you say, well, God might kill me. Well, maybe he does. But then you're in heaven. Man can't do that. I've said this, and this is tough. We ought to trust God even if it kills us. If you're saying, folks say, well, I can't trust God because what else am I going to do? It was this or that and other thing. If you know for sure this is what God wants you to do, you'd better do it. You'd better do it. Even if fearing and obeying God costs us our life by the hand of man, it's better to lose this temporal body of flesh that's going to eventually fall apart and die anyway in a relatively few years, than to face an eternal God that has the authority to cast us into hell for eternity. So we don't put these things in perspective. Psalm 118:5 says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, what we fear, well, I got this guy's on my side, and this man's on my side, and this group is on my side, and this denomination's on my side, or organization's on my side, or whatever it is. I better do it because I got safety because I'm amongst these people. Only if those people fear God. It's better to be all alone and live in fear of God than to have everybody in the rest of the world backing you up and walking away from him. He said, I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, you know, I know the other guy, but hey, the president said, and you know, whatever, or you know, this, there, I got the government behind. I don't care. This is the government. God puts them up and puts them down. We better trust the Lord. You know, this is almost odd these days. Do you really believe this fairy tale that God's in charge? Yes, I do. I've seen it. We should not fear hypocrites, but be discerning of their ways. Be able to recognize the leaven. God knows who they are, and he has something in store for them. It talks about that a little bit that a pastor just talked about. Number four, hypocrites trust the blessings of man more than the blessings of God. In other words, they almost trust what man can do for them more than what God can do for them. Now, I will tell you this, Satan's a good fisherman, and he knows just what lures to use to get us to swallow the hook. And it may look a whole lot more tempting than a worm on a bare hook. God may have some things that just doesn't look all that appetizing, and Satan may throw some wonderful looking things. But the fact is, God knows what we need. Verse 6 says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now wait a minute. That just came right after verse 5. He says, listen, don't fear the ones that kill the body. You fear the one who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. But wait a minute. You ought to fear him. But wait, that one that we're talking about here, he says, wait a minute. He's not out here trying to get you. He's out here trying to take care of you. He says, a couple birds are worth a couple farthings. He says, and they're not forgotten because God knows every hair on your head. You're more worth a whole lot more than a couple birds, a couple barn swallows. God said he'll take care of you. We don't have to. See, I think there's some people who feel like they have to be hypocrites because that's the only way you can get through this world. You go to church, you play the game with the church folks, but then you get out in the world, in the real world, and you gotta do it the way the world works it. He says, God loves you. Sometimes folks seek the blessings and the provision and of what the world can give you and what they see it has to offer more than eternal riches of God whom they cannot see. See, they see the world. And it's kind of like the bird in hands worth two in the bush. Well, the world says, it's right there, I can see that. You know, I can't see God. Blessed are he that hath not seen and yet believes. They say they believe in God, but when it comes to what they need in life and maybe what they want out of life, they'll turn to the world and trust the world to deliver before they'll turn to the Lord. They will take what they can see, even though it is corrupt, over that which they cannot see with the physical eye because they can't see it. They think that they're wise, thinking a bird in hand is worth two in a bush. They do not believe that actually God's promises is the bird in the hand. Let me say it again. A bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. And they think, well, I better take what the world has to offer because I can see that. I'll tell you what, I've gotten to a point where the bird in hand, the one whose promise is true, the one that I know is going to happen, is what God's going to do, and it's the world that's a liar. The bird in hand is what the Lord is promising, not the crazy stuff that the world promises and never delivers on. God loves with an everlasting love. Do all your friends do that? The prodigal son went out in the world, and he had friends as long as he had money. He had love as long as he had money, what he thought was love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God is plenteous in mercy. How's the world when you mess up? How merciful are they? When I say mess up, do what they don't, what they not do what they wanted you to do, or do something they didn't want you to do. I've had a couple times in my life where I've had friends who wouldn't forgive me because I did something for the Lord. I was, whether it was going to some event or I had one give me a hard time because I wouldn't stay away from church one Sunday just to go out and do something with him. I mean, he was just upright down mad. How dare you? I thought we were friends. I said, we are friends. How dare you make me stay away from God if you're my friend? But see, they don't see it that way. Why? They don't believe in God like that. And when someone makes, listen, they put you on the line. I'm going to say something real personal here. You know, my dad got saved and everything was fine. It's probably 20 years ago now. I had several long conversations with Dr. Clarence Sexton about going down to his college and his church to be his music director. And we were making arrangements for me to go down there and visit the campus and so forth and really talk it out. And I really didn't think Dr. Sexton would be going through all that and having me down there that much if he really wasn't pretty sure. And I knew that my dad didn't like me moving out of town. Now, you know, some of you have been to my mom and dad's place. He had, you know, he had a nice collection of antique classic cars and, you know, 20 acres of land, nice house there, and some other properties and so forth. And I said, I don't know where I'm going, but I just wanted you to be prepared. Well, he didn't like the idea of me moving. He was heading towards 70 years old at that point, I guess. He a little wasn't quite that much. He was getting upper 60s. And he had envisioned that, you know, he would live in that house there, and I'd live right next door to him in the house he had there, and I'd take care of him until the day he died. And the fact is, we did care for him in many ways till the day he was gone. But he just couldn't believe. He had it all worked out. Now, the fact is, he loved me, wanted me there. But you know what he told me? He said, if God moves you there, I'll become an atheist. In fact, you do that, you're out of the will. I said, well, Dad, I'm sorry to hear that, but I wasn't planning on having any of your money anyway. I haven't put that in the mix. I haven't said, this is how I'm going to make my way to the end of my life, and I'm going to put this much in from my inheritance from you. I said, I've never even put that in there. As far as I know, it may not be there by the time I get there. And I said, no, I don't. I said, and by the way, don't, if you're going to become an atheist because of doing, it means you're mad at him. Well, you can't be mad at something that doesn't exist. And I said kindly as I could. My point here being, my dad ended up being a Christian, and later on, after I came up here, he was still able to travel, he'd come up here and they'd sit right here and cry, well, the best message I've ever heard, this is wonderful. He'd go around and say, my son's a Baptist preacher up here in Dover, Pennsylvania. And he was as proud as he could be. He'd gotten saved. Things had changed. But he said, you know, I'll take you out of my will. I said, well, Dad, that's okay. This, you say, and you know what some people say? Well, that's the burden hand. How do I know I'm going to make it to the very end? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I may not be as well off in my last days as I would have been if I had taken his funds. I don't know. But the fact is, the Lord's got his hand in my life. He's kind of made me live by faith all my life, and I got a feeling he'll probably continue to do it. But the fact is, that's okay, because he's the burden hand. He's the right deal. He's the good deal. He's the one who's not going to let me down. So letter D there, God is plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over and is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and is righteous unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's the burden hand. That's the promise to possess. God will take care of us without us stooping to hypocrisy. We don't have to play games. We don't have to act like something we're not to try to get through life. You be real with God. You walk with him. He says, I'll take care of you. Number five, who you choose to associate with in this life makes a difference in the next life. Again, hypocrisy. You know, what time is it? I broke my watch out there. That's not a good thing, is it, for a preacher? It's 8:15. We we got here? You know what? I'm going to stop right there. Much as I don't want to stop right there. It's 8:15, and we'll hit this fresh next time. We'll start right there. It's amazing how our walk with God, or lack thereof, shows up so many places in our lives. And we think, just like the leaven, no one knows it's there. But the fact is, it makes a difference. That little bit of leaven, leaven's the whole bunch. It makes a difference in your life. It puffs stuff up, makes it seem a whole lot bigger and better than it really is. It's a phony. It's kind of, have you ever seen that guy, lizard? I always see this picture of this little lizard, and he's standing in the middle of the road right on the line. A car's coming, and he's about this high, and he goes, and blows himself up all out of proportion like that's going to scare the car. And the car doesn't stop. Squish. All this and everything. And you know what? We can puff ourselves up and try to be something we're not, and try to get work our way up into the world system, which the Gentiles do, and think we've made it. But you know what? The further we go up into the world system, the further we've walked away from the Lord, which is the burden hand. That's the one you want to keep. But the world's offering all this. Hang on to this one. You better hang on to this one. This is the promise. This is where this has the creator of all the world's signature on it. It may not look as flashy, but when it's all said and done, you're going to be glad you stayed right there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Not necessarily an exciting message, but Lord, very true. Lord, may we see ourselves in this mirror and make sure that we know what we're supposed to do. Bless this time. Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.